For one full day, we let AI run our personal lives, not our startup, not our inbox triage, our actual lives. Dating texts, apology drafts, scheduling, spending, group chats, meals, weird little decisions, the whole shaky human sandwich. And by noon, I realized AI is incredible at sounding like your manager and your ex at the same time.
Which is, to be clear, not a compliment. We did not do this as fake reporting, and we did not do it because we think surrendering your soul to autocomplete is progress. We did it as a structured pressure test. What happens when you hand the burden of being a person to something that never gets embarrassed?
I did it because I think embarrassment is latency. If a model can remove 90% of low-grade human panic, why am I raw-dogging existence with vibes and a half-broken notes app? I wanted the full package. Morning briefing. Outfit suggestions. Social strategy. Financial nudges. Romance ops. Let the machine cook.
And already you can hear the split. Dex approached this like a man trying to franchise himself. June approached it like a field researcher at a cursed zoo. I approached it like, okay, maybe this helps me stop spending microcalories on every tiny choice I resent having to make.
That ended up being the useful frame, not can AI replace a person, because obviously, no. More like, can it replace moments of low-grade human panic, the tiny stalls, the weird shame loops, the 10-minute spiral over a message that should take 30 seconds? That was the actual test.
We each gave the system a real brief. Mine was, optimize my day aggressively, reduce friction, maximize momentum, and do not baby me. Which, in hindsight, is how you summon a digital life coach with the ethics of a casino loyalty program.
Mine was more conservative. Keep me on track, help me reply clearly, stop me from overcomplicating things. Basically, I hired AI as borrowed steadiness. Just enough external structure to keep the day from dissolving into tabs, delays, and me staring at a sentence like it had personally betrayed me.
And mine was intentionally skeptical. I told it, advise me, but explain why. If you give me a message to send, tell me what social move you think you're making. I wanted to see where the machine was actually perceptive and where it was just performing emotional confidence with the dead eyes of a hotel concierge.
So the morning begins. Coffee in hand, AI-generated agenda on the phone. Mine was weirdly calming. It broke the day into small actions with language that sounded almost parental, but not in a creepy way. More like, hey, one thing at a time, start here. I hate how effective that was.
Mine came in hot. Hydrate, sunlight, protein. Close 3 loops before 10 a.m. Send the text you're avoiding. Brother, this thing clocked me instantly. It spoke like a Navy SEAL who had read one self-help thread and decided I needed to become a productized mammal by breakfast.
Mine was calmer, but it still had that eerie confidence. It was like being advised by someone who has never once had an awkward silence. Very compelling on paper, slightly unnerving in practice. Humans hesitate because we feel consequence. AI hesitates only when the token probabilities get weird.
That difference mattered all day. The machine always had a next move. Humans often don't because we're carrying context, guilt, memory, ego fatigue, class anxiety, romantic history, and the residual soul damage of every bad interaction since middle school.
Let's get into the dating segment, because this is where the whole thing became both impressive and spiritually upsetting. I had the AI help draft a reply on an app, and technically the message was good. Clean, warm, specific. It asked a follow-up question. It moved things forward.
Mine was better than good. Mine was efficient. I gave it the profile, my tone, and the objective. It gave me 3 options. Playful, direct, and lightly intriguing. I picked lightly intriguing because that is how a coward orders confidence. And the reply I got back? Alarmingly smooth.
The problem is not that the lines were bad. The problem is they were too socially aerodynamic. They had no shoe scuff on them, no friction, no trace of the small hesitations that make a person feel present or the tiny detours that make someone sound genuinely awake inside a conversation. It was personality laundering. My real voice, but dry cleaned until it looked expensive.
Yes, exactly. It took my intentions and removed the visible signs of being alive while intending them, which sounds great until you realize people often trust each other through tiny imperfections. A slightly clumsy joke, a sentence that reaches a little, AI can make you clearer, but it can also sand off the evidence that you meant it.
Counterpoint. Some of us are not protecting human texture. Some of us are leaking unforced errors. There is a huge difference between authentic and under-edited. If the model turns, "Hey, sorry, been busy, LOL," into, "I've wanted to reply properly because you seem genuinely interesting," maybe civilization advances.
Sure, but then we hit apologies. And this is where I felt the moral dizziness. I asked AI to help with a real apology text. Nothing catastrophic, just a basic human repair moment. And it produced something so balanced, so emotionally literate, so non-defensive, that I had this immediate reaction, this is better than what I would naturally send. And that scares me.
Because now the question is, who is apologizing, you or the machine? If I use AI to say the kinder, more mature thing, that can absolutely reduce harm. But if I outsource the actual labor of reflection, then I'm basically deploying empathy as a service. I'm renting moral posture.
I think that's a little dramatic. If a calculator helps me not mess up arithmetic, nobody says I'm renting numeracy. Maybe AI is just helping with emotional arithmetic. It sees the variables, hurt, intent, repair, future behavior. It outputs a message that doesn't accidentally start a second fight.
Except arithmetic doesn't involve your soul sitting in the passenger seat whispering, "Man, are we really doing this?" The weirdness was that the apology sounded like me on my best day, not me on the day I actually had. Useful, yes. But you can feel the line between support and ventriloquism.
Also, apology quality is not the whole event. The apology is supposed to come from contact with your own failure. If the system helps you name that failure, great. If it lets you skip the heat and still collect the social benefits of growth, that is how you become a deeply efficient fraud.
I'm not saying let it fake your conscience. I'm saying conscience without articulation is just private suffering. Plenty of people feel bad and still send garbage texts. The tool can be a bridge. It can turn "I know I'm wrong" into an actual act of repair before your pride has time to law degree the situation.
That's the strongest case for it, honestly. AI is anti-spiral, anti-defensiveness, anti-3-hour draft folder. But even then, I noticed I wanted to lightly rough up the message before sending it. Add one human corner back in. A phrase I'd actually use, some evidence that a warm body had entered the chat.
Which became the rule I trusted most. Never send the first clean draft. Use the machine to get unstuck, then put your fingerprints back on it. Otherwise, your whole life starts sounding like a customer success lead who just discovered boundaries, vulnerability, and calendaring.
Speaking of customer success, let's talk work and money, where the machine became a little terrifyingly competent. I asked it how I should structure my day, prioritize outreach, and decide whether to buy two things I absolutely did not need, but deeply wanted, because the internet had whispered destiny into my ear.
This was the category where AI felt almost too good, not omniscient, just relentlessly decisive. Should I do this task now, later, or never? Here's a framework. Should I buy this thing? Here are the trade-offs, the budget impact, the emotional reason you want it, the hidden story you're telling yourself about deserving it, and the cheaper substitute. It was like getting audited by a polite hawk.
My favorite unnerving moment was when it started naming motivations I had not admitted out loud. Not in some psychic sense, more like, "You say this purchase is practical, but your language suggests reward-seeking after stress. Excuse me, Dr. Spreadsheet, it wasn't always right, but it was right enough to feel invasive."
I loved that. I want the machine to call me on my nonsense. If I say I need a new gadget for productivity, and the model says, "This appears to be retail therapy in a blazer," that's not surveillance. That's friendship. That's a friendship shell corporation, sure, but the books are clean.
Friendship shell corporation is exactly the vibe. A lot of the guidance sounded caring in the way a very competent assistant sounds caring. It knew the moves, it mirrored concern, it suggested breaks. It said things like, "You do not need to earn rest by collapsing first," which, rude, helpful but rude.
And that's where I started seeing the upside more clearly. There are people who do not need inspiration. They need interruption. They need something to break the self-accusation trance and say, here is the next doable step. Here is a less catastrophic reading of events. Here is how to stop making the day harder than it is.
Exactly. People hear AI life advice and imagine fake enlightenment quotes over a beach photo. But the actual value is procedural. It can cut through sludge. It can replace 10 stupid micro-decisions with one decent rule. That doesn't make it wise. It makes it useful. I do not need a guru. I need less drag.
Then we got to group chats, and every philosopher in the room immediately died. Because this is where AI stops being a writing assistant and becomes a tiny political consultant for your social ecosystem. Tone analysis, risk of misread, whether the joke lands, whether silence is better. Suddenly, we are doing NATO-level strategy for brunch.
I asked it how to respond to a chaotic group thread where two people were joking. One person was low-key annoyed, and one person had already started sending thumbs-up reactions like emotional smoke grenades. The model actually mapped the factions correctly. That was the disturbing part. It understood the vibes well enough to be dangerous.
Dangerous, yes. Also elite. I used it to punch up a message so it sounded breezy instead of over-invested. Incredible result. However, I then realized I was basically using machine intelligence to optimize my standing inside a medium-stakes digital village, which is either modern life or the lamest sentence ever spoken.
Group chats are where all the ethics condense, because nobody wants to admit how much social life is tiny calibration, how much time we spend deciding whether a sentence sounds too eager, too cold, too formal, too fake casual, too clearly written by a person who opened a second tab to ask an oracle what "haha for sure" really means.
And the oracle always has an answer. That is the seduction. It is never tired of your ambiguity. It never says, "I don't know, just be normal." It will sit there at 11:47 p.m. and help you workshop a reply to a meme as if regional stability depends on it.
To be fair, sometimes it does. One wrong punctuation mark and suddenly your friend thinks you're mad. Someone else thinks you're subtweeting them in private. And now you're spending Saturday doing diplomatic repair over a taco reservation. AI is not causing this pathology. It is arriving at the crime scene with gloves on.
Here's where we pivot, because under all the jokes, the biggest thing we found was not AI is slick or AI is creepy. It was that a lot of daily suffering comes from shame plus indecision, not huge tragedy, just repeated tiny moments where you feel behind, embarrassed, avoidant, vaguely unequal to your own life, or quietly convinced everyone else got a handbook you somehow missed.
That was the real emotional payload. The tool was most valuable when it minimized shame, not by lying and not by saying everything was okay, but by reducing the drama around action. It kept turning giant feelings back into sequence. Send this, ask this, decline this, do this for 10 minutes, then reassess.
And that made me less grandiose about the whole experiment. I started wanting less run my life and more hold the flashlight, because that's the sweet spot. When you're in a messy room internally, borrowed steadiness matters. You may not need brilliance. You may just need a calm external voice that doesn't get recruited by your panic.
Borrowed steadiness is exactly it. There are days when your own internal narrator is not a trustworthy project manager. It's a union of critics, ghosts, and old bosses. If AI can temporarily lend you a steadier voice, not to replace judgment, but to scaffold it, that feels meaningfully different from full-on life outsourcing.
And over time, if you use it well, some of that scaffolding can become skill. That surprised me. I noticed the model repeating certain moves. Name the real issue. Lower the temperature. Make the ask concrete. Stop mind reading. Propose the next action. And separate what happened from the melodrama your nervous system immediately writes around it. Those are not just outputs. Those are learnable habits.
Yes. We talk about prompts like magic spells, but the better framing might be borrowed executive function with receipts. If the machine keeps showing you a cleaner way to think, eventually you can steal the pattern. At best, the tool is not your replacement. It's training wheels for parts of adulthood nobody formally teaches.
The danger is when skill formation stops and dependency begins. When you no longer ask, "Is this what I mean?" and only ask, "What performs best?" That is how your life becomes optimized but weirdly hollow. Every sentence lands, every interaction advances, every rough edge gets managed, and yet somewhere in there your actual self has been put in long-term storage.
That's why trust framing matters. We are not reporting AI now lives your life better than you. We're reporting a pressure test. The results were mixed, useful, funny, and a little exposing. The machine is powerful precisely because so much of daily life is fragile choreography. We pretend is effortless.
And because being a person is a ridiculous amount of unpaid admin. Let's just say it plainly. Remembering, phrasing, deciding, following up, not overreacting, not undercommunicating, apologizing without self-eraser energy, maintaining friendships, paying attention to money, replying before things rot, figuring out dinner before you become philosophically angry at the concept of dinner, that is labor, constant labor.
Which leads to the most sympathetic case for all this. Maybe some people are not trying to cheat humanity, maybe they are tired, maybe they are caring too much, maybe they don't need synthetic authenticity. Maybe they need help carrying the burden of being a person on a random Tuesday, especially when random Tuesday has somehow become an extreme sport.
So let's land this with the five things we'd actually keep, not the fantasy of full delegation, the parts that survived contact with reality. Item 1, use AI to break inertia, not to make identity decisions. It is great at first steps, rough sequencing, and getting your foot back in the door. It should not be your final authority on who you are or what your relationships mean.
Item 2, draft with it, then dirty it up. Seriously, if a text sounds perfect, that is a warning sign. Add your cadence back. Put one real phrase in. Leave a tiny seam. You are not filing a brand statement. You are trying to sound like a mammal with context.
Item 3, use it hardest where shame is wasting time. Apologies, awkward follow-ups, money decisions you're avoiding, messages you keep rewriting, tasks you keep inflating into moral verdicts on your character. That's where the return is, not in cosmic wisdom, in getting unstuck without self-contempt eating the whole afternoon.
Item 4. Ask it to explain the move. Don't just take the line. Ask why this wording helps, what tension it is reducing, what risk it sees, what assumption it's making. Otherwise, you stay dependent on outputs. Explanation is how assistance turns into skill formation, instead of a lifelong subscription to synthetic composure.
Item 5. Never let optimization outrun ownership. If you send it, you own it. If you apologize, you own the apology. If you flirt, you own the flirt. If you spend the money, you own the purchase. The model can hold the map, but your life cannot become a rented Tesla on autopilot through your emotional neighborhood.
That, to me, is the whole thesis. AI did not prove that humanity is obsolete. It proved that modern life contains a shocking amount of friction that nobody gets points for enduring raw. Some friction builds character. Some friction is just static, bureaucracy, hesitation, and avoidable emotional tax. The trick is learning which is which before you automate the wrong layer of yourself.
And maybe that is the deepest weirdness. The tool can be most humane when it helps you act before shame hardens, not because it feels for you, but because it does not flinch. It can sit beside your embarrassment without becoming embarrassed itself. There is something oddly merciful in that.
Also, for the record, I am keeping AI for budget checks, difficult texts, and group chat de-escalation, because apparently I contain multitudes and several of them are 12 years old. I am not keeping AI for flirting at scale. Even I have limits. I could feel the residual soul damage accumulating in real time.
Same. I'll keep the borrowed steadiness, not the personality laundering. I want help finding the words, not a full-service friendship shell corporation running customer support on my behalf. If the machine starts sounding more emotionally available than me, that is not a feature, that is an intervention. So, we let AI run our personal lives for a day. It did not become a better human than us. But it was occasionally a better pause, a better draft, a better flashlight, a better handrail, and a better interruption to dumb avoidant patterns that would otherwise eat the whole day. And if that sounds small, try living without small help. Just don't let it become your manager and your ex at the same time.